The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this Saturday, September the 20th, and we're almost through the month of September, and after that, we have 3 months left in the year, and it seems like October and November and December fly by with holidays and everybody being busy, so enjoy the next few weeks we have in September. I want to introduce our mayor of Saratoga Springs. We got a lot to talk about, and I want to welcome John Safford. Good morning, John.
Great to be here, Rick. As usual.
As always.
About number six or seven.
That's okay. You know, we'll keep them coming. You know, the job you're doing warrants having you come back. So, now, John, you're going to be running for re-election this November, and I think your first 2 years have been pretty awesome. I know a lot of people are talking about you bringing civility back to the council table and making quite a few improvements in the areas that you can as mayor, especially the building department. Why don't we talk about some of the things that your competition in this election is saying about that and the progress you've made in that department that you oversee?
Well, I think that I think it's very important for people to realize that we have been a paper, our building department has worked primarily on paper for the last, 100 years.
Yeah.
And for a number of reasons, one being the commission form of government, which makes it very hard to do real automation in the city, and there's arguments over that. But we have brought automation into that. Now, I have to give some credit to the accounts department because of the short-term rental legislation that we're trying to put into place and have modified since Cole and I got into office, made it a little more practical, I think. And which is appreciated. But at any rate, that has caused us to take a hard look at automating our and digitizing and scanning our records for building, because the building department information is used by short-term rentals. So we've been working very hard to get all of that done this year. We're in the process right now of just completing scanning all of those records. And also have, as soon as we came in, we started looking for software for the building department. It took about 6 months to get three bids and to do all the things that you need to do that, and also check out who would be, which software would be best for us. We now have a software vendor. We've been implementing that over the last 4 or 5 months now, and we'll see results from it probably in the spring this year or next year. So that has been a very good thing that I brought. I don't know if you know, my background is automating.
Yeah, I do. I mean, processes. And you can just explain a little bit about that. I mean, I know that because of our, friendship, but tell us a little bit about the background in that.
Well, for 25 years, I owned my own computer company, and this was in the 80s and 90s, principally. Since I came here in 1999, I had been selling off some of my software and started doing managing HOAs and, community associations. But prior to that, we specialized in developing software for law enforcement and code enforcement and the building departments, and sold it all over the state. That's why I was very familiar with Saratoga Springs, because I'd be here a lot. Yeah, mm-hmm. My company was out of Buffalo at the time.
Oh, okay.
But I'd be driving through Saratoga Springs all the time, you know, to visit my various, because I sold all across the state. And so I have a lot of experience in automation. I know how it, you know, what needs to be done. And so we immediately started doing that. It just, you know, it just takes a while to actually move something, especially during the summer, where our workload triples during the summer, you know, in the building department.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we're making very good progress on that.
So I know you were managing homeowners associations.
Yes.
And that's almost like a city manager position.
It is a city
but
manager.
I'm not so...
It is a city. I know.
I'll tell you, I am not so hard on city managers anymore. Okay. I would accept a mayor council and maybe a strong mayor council, anything but this. But
yeah.
I was dead set for city managers before.
Well,
but
we do have a commission.
I know you do.
I appointed a really good commission.
Yeah.
They're going to make a decision in January.
Okay.
You know, this year, and what's really good about this commission, very experienced. And they're looking at ways to fix, you know, or to make better
sure.
the current system. But they're also learning all the loopholes and difficulties that this system
provides.
Does present.
Yeah.
So well, in December they'll make a decision as to whether they will continue for another year and look at possibly changing. So
I don't think they should rush. Honestly, if tomorrow the government, form of government could change, I would say fine. But you know what? If they're doing a good job, which I've been told by somebody that whose name I will not mention, that they said you may be surprised. There may not be a total overall, but you may be surprised how it might turn out. If that comes to that point and they have to take another year, so be it. I mean, that's fine.
If they're going to consider changing, it would take another year.
Yeah.
This would not happen until 26.
Oh, most of yeah. All right. So enough of that. I just wanted to bring that little joke in about being the city man. It's a big deal for me, as was the opening of the parking lot. I've got these things that, well, when I first moved up here, first thing, Lynn Goodness and I, who we were talking about when he was my good friend,
yeah.
and we did the show together. First thing we did was we went out and got all the signatures ourselves to petition for change of form. And then the commission then broke up. And then when Valerie Keene took over as mayor, she took our signatures and appointed a 9-person committee, 3 Democrat, 3 Republican, 3 Independents, and she appointed me. I was lucky, fortunate, but anyway, enough of that. One of the other things I think about you overhauling the building department and bringing it up to modern day record keeping and process is that it does speed along the process of a person wanting to do something to their property or someone building a home. Before, it took so long. And I think now with modernizing the department, you've kind of sped up the process to make it easier for people.
Well, one of the big problems, and I will say this openly, if someone is coming into town, well, businesses primarily you know, I'm more than happy to talk to anyone. It's because of the very stringent rules that we follow here. We have the buildings are great because we have a wonderful process. But one of the most frustrating things is someone who moves into town and might be familiar with how people do things in other communities and then find out that, you know, Saratoga is probably twice or three times as difficult to get something through because we're very, very particular about making sure everything is done correctly, which is a good thing. But at the same time, it slows things down. It's very frustrating for new people. We realize that. So one of the things that happens is before an application really gets going, you have to meet all these insurance requirements and building specs, you know, and so with automation, that's all going to be online. And we're working right now and trying to, AI is bringing in a whole new section.
Yeah.
A whole new dimension, really, to make sure that when you're filling out your application, you're filling everything correctly. Because what happens now is people come in, we try to do the best we can with their application, and it can be a number of weeks before that application is even picked up. And if it gets picked up, you know, 6, 7, even 8 weeks, which is our big problem right now, and then we find out that they're missing 2 or 3 things, then it's sort of the process starts all over again.
Sure.
We've been trying to find a better way, and we're working on that so that they don't have to wait another 6 weeks.
Right. You know?
So automation is going to help to improve that process. The other thing is now people can call in and see where they stand in the list, but it's, you know, it's like on a spreadsheet. With the new one, they'll be able to actually track better application is.
Yeah, well, and that's fantastic. I mean, that, you know, I don't know any other mayor or commissioner that has ever tried to make it easier. I mean, there was a building inspector when they moved up here whose name was synonymous with evil, Mike Biffer,
yes,
only because he was so strict on the building codes, which you had to be, but every time his name was mentioned, people, oh no, you know. But
you have to remember that Biffer established a culture of excellence.
He did. No, he did.
And that still continues today.
Yep.
So managing it is very difficult because you have to manage between excellence and efficiency.
Right. Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, there's so much going on in Saratoga with building, and I mean, people buying $1 million homes and tearing them down and want to rebuild new things. And so it's, you know, it's a difficult thing, no doubt about it. And I think you've brought us into the age where things can get done more efficiently. And I always compare that to what Matt Veach did as our supervisor, who's not running again this year, did with the pay department at the county. I mean, he modernized it with systems.
Yes.
Instead of punching the time card. I mean, so bringing things to modern techniques does take time.
It does.
You just can't do it overnight. So, I commend you.
People should start seeing this by springtime.
Yeah, good. Part of the problem, too, John, I think, is apathy with the voters. I mean, people don't really take a part in city government. They don't know what goes on. And, I mean, you hear all kinds of things, and they base decisions on that or what their conception is. And, I mean, if they would tune into a council meeting or would attend a council meeting to just see what goes on in the city, I think they'd have a better understanding when it came to the voting booth. It's difficult, you know?
I mean, you know, yes, you have to, keeping people informed of what's happening is difficult.
It is. Especially when they move in from an area that has a different, everything's different. They have to try and adapt to here, and they want to bring in what they had, and it does make it difficult. I know. It's the little bit I was involved with being on some of the committees, and just how you have to deal with people and kind of make things right for everybody.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, you have this interesting commission form. A lot of people don't understand the commission form. I mean, I did, obviously, because I ran a number of times.
Right.
I was very familiar, and knew the limitations of the mayor, in that configuration and how I came in with a full intention of doing my best to work with everybody.
Right.
And make it work. And we've been pretty successful at that. You know, as you say, I promises kept with regard to civility. But civility is not niceness. A lot of people think it's niceness, but it isn't. It's holding a standard and expecting everybody else to meet a standard of civility in the way you treat one another.
Well, exactly. And keeping things on track instead of sidelining into arguments.
Right.
I remember talking with, I guess he didn't like what I said because he didn't talk to me after, but he was the head of the Democratic Party back then, and which I had nothing against Democrats or Republicans, you know, but, and I said, the person at the time, I think it's the person you're running against, made such a fool of the council with her arguing with the people in the gallery that were there for the meeting, that the mayor couldn't rein her in, and it just upset the whole apple cart for the evening. And you've kind of made that not happen. I mean, I know there's disagreements, there has to be, but, and when I mean civility, I mean you control the meeting, you make it so everybody knows what's going on and you've done a great job of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the difficult things of being a mayor and have employees. In other words, you have an agenda of your own, in the commission form.
Sure.
But as chairman of the meeting, you really can't engage too much because you're there to kind of keep the meeting flowing.
Right.
And the one thing that we have really gotten control of is not having interaction with the gallery, the people who come in.
Right.
That they get up, they can speak.
Yep.
And we listen to them. But when they sit down, then they're quiet, and then the commissioners can talk. But the going back and forth, and that's true, too, as chairman. You know, I have recently kind of gotten caught up in that, where I get engaged in a debate, basically, with one of the commissioners. But you really can't do that as chair. You need, you're there not to do that. You're
right, exactly. Right, to control. Yeah, I mean, it never used to be that a commissioner could engage people at a meeting. They had to wait till after, and they may make a comment on certain things, but you never engage the people because they're all upset about a topic. And once you say something, even if it's to try and soothe that, you're not going to get anywhere.
No.
And it can evolve into something you don't want, so.
Incivility.
Incivility, that's right, incivility. All right, let's talk about housing.
Well, housing is a fascinating discussion, not only Saratoga Springs, but around the world, or around the country. And We have, and this, previous administrations have been pretty good about, like, for example, we are a pro-housing community, which there are very few in the state, because in past administrations, and then followed up once we've gotten in to get that designation, we have, okay, you need to listen to statistics for a minute. We have approximately 13,000 livable units in Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
We just did a survey, and again, this is a not formal survey, but we figure there's 2,850 affordable housing units now, either built or being built. There's a lot being built right now. And that is approximately 20% of our housing stock. And this is typically 80% AMI or less. I mean, these are all things you learn after a while. But what is happening in this city is what's called the missing middle. We have very wealthy people, and then we have relatively poor people, you know, who can qualify for this affordable housing, but nothing in the middle. And one of the things that we've been really pushing for is called workforce housing. So give you approximately somebody earning $50,000 a year or under can qualify for some of this housing. But as soon as you earn $50,001, you know, you don't qualify. You know, and we just had a couple of interns, and now we're looking at ways that that young families or working, you know, people can actually purchase in the city. We're working hard to find ways that we can use our zoning, that we can redo some of the parking requirements. There's a number of things that we can do.
Sure.
To try and make it possible for what's called the missing middle. Now, I mean, somebody earning $80,000-$90,000, you would think they could easily live in the city, but they can't.
No, I don't.
Especially purchasing. So, you know, we're working very hard on trying to find ways to make that possible. Because right now what's happening, a lot of folks in that category are not living in the city anymore. They're living in what I now think of as the suburbs.
You know? Yeah, which aren't, they're not anymore, because every area around Saratoga now is growing and is getting more expensive. I mean, in Saratoga, you could always move to Wilton. And it would be a little less expensive. Now you can't move to Wilton.
No.
It's just the county's growing. You know, it's everybody wants to be near Saratoga, and the Northway makes it very easy from exit 7, 8 all the way up to Queensbury to have building. I mean, even Greenfield now is getting
is growing
like crazy. So, yeah, it's a difficult balance on what
well,
to
I
do.
Well, I mean, so it's we're an incredibly successful city, and people want to be here.
Yeah,
it has its drawbacks.
Well, it does. It does. I mean, you know, we were fortunate when we moved up here. We thought we paid a lot for our house. Now, you know, and that's part of the problem, too, I think. If you have owned a house for 20, 30 years and you want to sell, it's very hard to buy something in Saratoga. Because and now that we've become a tourist city and our economy, not all of it, but a good segment of our economy depends on workers for the tourism industry that don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They have to commute from a distance away. That makes it hard on those employees, too.
Yes.
And so trying to figure a way to keep them here.
Well, that's primarily what we call workforce housing, you know, employees working, you know. But even Stewart's employees, after a couple of years, make more than $50,000.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. They can't
afford to live.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's a dilemma, as is the homeless problem. It's a dilemma on how to solve that, although I know the city's doing things in conjunction with the county trying to get that.
Yeah, I mean, that is all. I don't know how much time we have if you want to talk.
Well, we got a half hour.
So to talk about unhoused or homeless situation, you know, basically there is a difference of opinion with regard to whether you, it's called the Housing First Initiative, or whether you put demands on people in order to give them housing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I'm more on the side of asking people, discerning whether people really want to change or not. Now, that's the argument, but, you know, so I do have a divergence of opinion with regard to that. Primarily, it's the difference between Shelters of Saratoga, who has been our shelter company for, you know, facility for many years, and the Rise folks who run the what's called the low barrier shelter.
Right.
And then, of course, we have Code Blue, which is kind of in between, managed by Shelters. We have quite a large, maybe 300 people in that category. There's maybe 10 or 15 that people see downtown a lot that most people think of as homeless. But there's a wide category of homeless, including over 100 kids in school who, they live with different people, or they couch surf or whatever. A lot of people don't know, and that's what Captain is very involved in helping. And we're hoping to see a little more of that here. We support Captain with our CDBG grants pretty much every year, and would like to see more activity there. But the tip of the iceberg is just the people you see downtown. And,
yeah,
of course, we've been trying to deal with the camping ordinance.
It's been working.
It has. There's no jail time involved in it, although a lot of people have been saying that, we want to put people in jail. We don't.
No, you can't.
We want people to get better, to see somebody drunk and sleeping on the street, and just pass by and say, we don't want to bother with this person. It's not what we think. We think we need to do something about that to see if we can help that person. And so that's sort of the way we're looking at that. But it is something that we are very concerned about. This, of course, is Commissioner Cole and myself, since we came in, have been trying to focus on how best to deal with this crisis, really. Yeah. So
now, Commissioner Cole is the public safety.
Public safety, yes.
Commissioner. Okay.
Yeah, we came in at the same time,
right?
A half ago.
Yeah. Well, they're tough things to deal with and try and improve the homeless and the workforce housing. I mean, it's very hard to do that, especially in a city that has money. Not the city government itself, but people that live here. You've got to do things. And I know I was on the Community Development Block Grant Committee, or Commission, whatever, and for a number of years. And the thing that we found difficult was the federal government keeps cutting back the amount of money that they give you. Back then, I don't know about now, but and you didn't have enough money for the number of organizations that came in to apply for it. And it's kind of sad. I mean, you have a scoring system and that, but it's just a hard thing. Those are two topics that are just very difficult.
They're front and center now for a lot of people, and exactly how to deal, effectively, but humanely, with people who are having difficulties. A lot of them, it's also mental health and
alcohol abuse and drug abuse. These people need professional help to try and straighten out their lives, it's not just the fact that people just don't want to work and they live on the street. A small percentage, but we all could be in a situation where things go wrong. You have a spouse lose a job, or both of you lose a job, and you can't. It's there's a saying, but for the grace of God go I, and that's true today.
What you just described are financial homelessness,
right?
That you can. There's a lot of help if people reach out. It means that you want to live. You want to have a good place to live, but
sure,
you just need a little help to do it. There's a lot of help for that. In fact, that's really what affordable housing is all about, technically, what it's all about. And so people, if it's financial, that's one thing. And you don't see those people on the street. We spend in the county something like $6 million a year, let alone the not-for-profits that are out there to help. And there's no reason that someone in that category, if they, you know, it's very difficult to reach out and ask for help. But if they there is help for that. It's kind of the, you know, then you have the mental and addiction people.
Right.
That is a whole different category of homeless. Yeah. And then you have the chronic homeless. There are people who, this is a lifestyle.
Right. They just don't want to have.
They don't want to, any help.
No.
You know, and so at any rate, it's just much more complicated than a lot of people know.
Oh, yeah. Economic development.
Yes.
That goes on all the time in county, city, state.
Yes.
How's the city stacking
up? You know, economics, you know, I think we were talking earlier about just the sports side of it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, our major sports venue is the track, of course.
Right.
And that brings in a lot of people, but I don't know. Our rec department, which is also under the mayor's office, is incredibly successful with all the various amateur teams and that come into town and bring economics into it. But the other thing that I've been talking about lately is a lot of people aren't aware that the Grandy Park, our industrial park, is just about full now.
Is it?
And yes, and you know, I've been very instrumental in working with a company called Regeneron. It was a big tech company, medical tech company.
Yeah, they worked on the, during COVID, on the vaccine.
That's a lot of people are aware of that, but a lot of people aren't aware. And, you know, I also am vice president of a little medical company that we've been around for a long time, so I'm familiar with medical requirements. And Regeneron has developed a way to reverse macular degeneration.
Really?
Yes. I mean, it's actually making blind see. It's an amazing technology that they sell throughout the world, but not in the United States yet because it hasn't been
it has
to go through all these trials and everything. But they do great work, and a lot of people aren't aware of what they
have a friend that works for Regeneron.
Yeah.
And they moved from, I can't remember where they were.
Well, I mean, they're just expanding.
Right.
I mean, they're mainly, you know, more around Albany area.
Yeah, but I know you got them in the park.
Yeah, they just moved into the park. But also, Soleno is a company that makes, what we would be familiar with galvanized pipes to move water. But they have this new technique where the pipes are actually manufactured. It's an amazing process. We've been out there to describe it. They like use strings, and they can build any size pipe, to move water. So, you know, now it's expanded into all kinds of different uses. But they were from Canada, and they just expanded here in our park, and they're going to expand again. And there's just a lot of people are not aware that we have this very substantial, high-tech manufacturing sector of our economy here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have it all. You know, we've got education, we've got health, we've got the outdoors with the parks.
Yeah, we got sports.
You know, we've got racing.
Yeah.
We've got manufacturing. We've got retail. Yeah, best downtown ever.
You know,
which we want to keep.
Oh, most definitely. And I mean, and you always have to stay on top of it because it's hard to keep a good machine going. I mean, you constantly have to, like you did, get some good businesses in Grandy Park and keep up with downtown. And one of the things that, you know, I don't like, and I know you're addressing that, are when these outfits buy homes and they're outbidding families to buy a house.
To do short-term rentals.
For short-term rental.
Yes. Actually, the new legislation addresses that.
Good, good. Because I remember in our neighborhood when, I don't know if it was Saratoga Bridges or a group like that, were putting homes in developments. And the people in and these are special needs people.
Yes.
And people in the neighborhoods were giving the city a real hard time. They didn't want that type of house in our neighborhood. And you know, after they did put them around, you know, they're great neighbors.
Yeah.
And people just stopped talking bad about them, and they were happy to have them in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But these darn short-term rentals, I think, cause more problems.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I used to deal with this all the time with the HOAs. When you know, renters would come in, and especially when this first happened, it's primarily it's a noise issue.
Yeah.
If you know, and again, we're looking at how to deal with that. But you know, it's like, you know, when you get a bachelor party and they're going all night, and there's three other houses right around it, you know, especially in places like Geyser, you know, out in Geyser Park area.
Well, even where I live, in Michael Manor, there's a house in back of us, and they have a built-in swimming pool, and there's a, and next door to that house are elderly couple, and then there's, you know, three or four houses on my street that get affected by that. And sometimes they're out until 1 o'clock in the morning and the music's playing and they're jumping in and out of the pool. And, you know, I mean, you hate to take away somebody's fun when they're renting a house for a
big
day.
They're coming here to party.
Yeah. But you know, it's tough. And, you know, Saratoga, the thing is about Saratoga, even when it wasn't the city it is now, people always rented their house out during track season.
Right.
But it seemed that those were track people that were coming in.
Right.
Not party people.
Yeah, they're there to work.
Right, right. So it's kind of a different scope today.
Well, I mean, the party people normally would go to a hotel, and the hotels deal with that.
Right.
So, again, though, we have this long tradition of renting our houses, and a lot of people have then moved into using short-term rentals.
Sure.
Do that, and so there's this economic, a lot of, especially with this missing middle, a lot of people move here knowing that they can rent their house for August and pay their taxes.
Exactly.
And so we don't want to stymie that either.
Right.
So it's a dicey thing that we're working through. As I say, this is something that Commissioner of Accounts has been working on, and we're going to continue to tweak this, but the primary thing, it will be how to deal with kind of a noise ordinance. That's the primary concern.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if people come and they rent a house and they want to go downtown and party and all that, that's what it's for.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Not all night at their house.
Not all night. Matter of fact, this house, our neighbors had moved to California. They moved to California to be with their daughter because she had a baby and they wanted to be around the grandkid. So they had the real estate agent sell the house for them. And they were devastated when they found out that this outfit outbid a couple with two small children by an enormous amount of money. And, you know, they couldn't do anything about it. I mean,
this legislation does cut down on that kind of purchasing.
Yeah.
And then the fines for people disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
And again, we're just in the process of figuring out how to do that.
Sure.
Because our code enforcement people who normally only work 9 to 5, on the weekdays, they're not, and these things happen on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
The police have to get involved. So there's a lot of logistics that we're working through.
Sure. And many departments involved in trying to come up with a situation, too.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've got public safety and the mayor's office.
I mean, everything
office
sooner or later comes back to the commission.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, you've put up with me for years, so... Yeah, I give you a credit for that. If we can deal a little bit more with sports.
Yeah.
You had mentioned about Fox Sports being part.
Yeah, so I've had this question put to me. Of course, Belmont will be back next year, but
right,
that will be it. So the question is, Belmont has been a great addition to our sales tax,
sure,
right? And it has really our sales tax, and I think you can equate it a lot to Belmont. You know, there's a lot of other dynamic stuff going on with the city. More and more people want to come here. This is, you know, not just for the track, but Belmont's probably been worth 4 or 5% increase in our sales tax. But what happens when they're not here? So one of the things that I like to talk about is how Fox Sports has kind of fallen in love with our area, what they found coming here with Belmont is how they found a brand new audience. There's an audience out there that's larger than some of the other sports they cover, of people who just like the idea of the horses, the reality of it, our kind of family oriented track, where it becomes a family thing,
sure,
almost, which is not common throughout this industry. And just the Victorian iconic kind of place that we have here.
Yeah.
And they're going to be coming back on a regular basis now because they found this audience.
Mentioned to you before about Skidmore Sports. We've got some of the best sports teams of Skidmore in the country. And, some of that is, I've seen on ESPN or Fox Sports, some of the coverages on something as simple as equestrian.
Right.
And we've got one of the top equestrian teams in the nation.
Yes.
Right. For the division, you know, that they're in, and lacrosse and basketball and soccer. And, that's a huge draw, too, because, it's funny. I had a friend that went to Skidmore, and she was from Hawaii. And when she was here, she brought a sweatshirt for her brother. I don't know why a sweatshirt in Hawaii, but she did. And I guess when it's 79 there, it's like 32 here.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was walking down the street in city in Oahu, Mililani. And two elderly women were walking by, and they stopped him, and they said, "Oh, you go to Skidmore?" And he said, "No, my sister does." And they both said, "Well, we went to Skidmore, and we love the area."
Yeah.
And so no matter, I think, where you go in the world, you can always, people relate to Saratoga somehow. But so there is an interest in Saratoga outside of our immediate area.
We haven't even mentioned SPAC or the concerts or
right.
Five Nations or any of that. I mean, which is a huge economic engine.
Oh, it is. It is.
The convention center, and how they're busy almost every week.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing convention people in. And people love the downtown,
you know,
but sports. I mean, you got to mention the fact that we had two baseball teams on
right,
the same
two,
day get
exactly.
state championship.
Right, SPAC Catholic
year.
And
yeah.
Saratoga
yeah.
School.
Yeah.
Got
and
the
other
state, championship.
Other champions from the high school
yeah.
basis. Another thing that a lot of people, we just opened up a what's called a pump bike park.
Okay.
Over by the ice rinks in the back there that are attracting people from all over the area. It's a beautiful, very technical little area. If you've been over there, that it's called a pump park. You don't actually pedal on it.
Right.
You learn how to pump.
Oh, really?
You bike around, the various jumps and
almost like the railroad cars where you...
Obviously I didn't do it.
Right.
But it's a very technical, and it's the first stage of three stages that are going out there. The idea of pike, and of course we're working more on our trails too to try and make it as safe as possible.
Sure.
to get out there.
Yeah.
And so biking is a huge issue here as well. Any kind of sports you can imagine is happening in Saratoga Springs.
It is. We even mentioned the rowing.
Sure.
The head of the fish, and then later in the season, the tail of the fish, and that draws I mean, I don't know how many people that draws, but it's amazing. Yeah, thousands. And to the city, and they use our hotels, our restaurants, and our downtown stores.
Yes.
And I know I have a hard time going to Compton's for breakfast when they're in here because it's so mobbed. But, you know, that's great for the city. And I just want to say, if we were on TV, the audience could have seen you, how they pump those bikes.
Yeah.
But I can't be because I've got a radio face. So. But anyway.
Very animated.
Yeah. Well, hey.
I'm imagining what it would be like to do it. You know?
Well, I don't know. But, yeah, well, that's great. And I know, so really, you know, I really don't like to talk bad about anybody. I really don't. But we had a commissioner for 10 years that really was very controversial. And I had a thing with her about her last 2 years in office because you could qualify for, I don't think she really wanted to run, but you could qualify for health insurance benefits for life if you served 10 years or more. And I didn't think that was right for an elected official of a city to get a benefit like that. Maybe while they're in office, okay, but not for life. And she took it as quite an insult that I kept bringing it up. But, you know, I honestly don't think that that she could do the things that you've done in just basically a year and a half. Because our two-year term, for 6 months, you're learning the position. I mean, you came in with knowledge of different things because of your business background. And then you've got 6 months to go, and then you're running for election again in the second year. But you've done an awful lot of, and I don't mean bad things when I say an awful lot of, good programs for the city and bringing it up to modern times. And, I mean, I think you warrant that right to become mayor for a second term.
Well, I mean, that's why, Bernie. I mean, you realize that. I mean, I don't have a lot to gain by doing this other than trying to finish some of these things that we started. And that's why I'm running again. It's not easy.
Oh, my gosh, no.
No,
I don't want to go back to the form of government, but, you know, we've grown so much in the last 20 years, or maybe 30 years now. I've been here for a while, and you lose track of time, that, I mean, you're a professional. I mean, you've had your own businesses. You know how businesses work.
I'm a professional community manager.
Right. And, you know, being homeowners, leading a bunch of them. But a lot of times we elect people that aren't professionals. And with today's Saratoga, that's very hard to do now. Not that they don't like Saratoga and they don't want what's best for Saratoga, but laws change, things happen, there's more complicated things. And, you know, you're just really good. And we have a council now, most of it, that, like Tim, I mean, he's, I think, a former...
No, he's definitely professional.
A very professional.
So
former
is Dan
FBI.
His deputy. Very professional.
Yeah, and so they know how to get things done, know how to work the systems to benefit our city. And, we have
well, I mean,
7 minutes.
You're kind of mentioning, I mean, it goes back to this. You can't have someone who does not have good control over their emotions being chairman of the board.
Right.
Or be mayor, you know.
Right.
You have to be consistent. You have to be able to be very competent and very calm.
Sure.
To keep everything calm.
And, you know, and you said it earlier that as the role of mayor and being a commissioner, you're running a department. And you have to look out for your people.
Yeah.
So really the mayor's job is a dual position, because some
difficult.
Things you can't get involved in that because of your position as a legislator and, you know, running a department. But you seem to have struck that balance pretty well.
Well, I have an outstanding deputy, Joanne Kiernan, who's going to be running for finance. She's going to take a $70,000 reduction in pay to do a harder job.
Yeah,
but
I know.
She's perfectly adapted. Her whole background is a former CPA, understands numbers. She'll be great in that position.
Yep.
And she wants to do it for the city. Yeah, I just admire the fact that she wants to do that.
Yeah, because she's a business owner, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's just excellent.
Yeah, she is.
Excellent.
She really is.
At any rate, I mean, yeah, so she is basically running the operation side of it.
Right.
You know.
And that's what the deputy's positions are.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Right. They're supposed to run the office and run the departments. I mean, they're really a department head.
Yeah.
Is what they are.
Technically,
and,
you
know, it's unfortunate when you get a real good one in that if someone else takes over or gets elected, that they bring their person in. You know, I mean, it's not a steady
job. You have to feel for the employees.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. But
they can change every 2 years.
Yeah, I know it.
New boss every 2 years.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Not good at all.
That is I feel for the employees there.
Yeah, I mean, we have a good working staff in Saratoga City Hall.
We have wonderful employees, really. Really, I mean, they just hold the city together in every department.
Who's the director at the rec center now?
John Herleman.
He's
been there. He is great.
Yep.
He and his staff just run that.
And he started it from the beginning. He was in there at the beginning when Scott.
Pretty close. I think he was. Yeah.
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 Because they do a great job over there.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, that rec center is beautiful.
Yeah. You know, you had made a comment about Saratoga. People come here for the atmosphere and use our things, too. But Saratoga is also a hub to get to other places. Like, you know, we're a three-hour ride from Montreal.
Right.
We're probably, a three-and-a-half-hour ride to New York City.
3 hours to Boston.
3 hours to Boston. So really, people can come here and enjoy the best of what we have and still get to other places and come back and enjoy our city, you know, a little more. So we're kind of like a crown jewel of the state.
I would like to mention our arts area.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We
have
a great
very,
arts system.
We have very, very active arts, and I have been... I have not reappointed, but gotten our arts commission going again. So, with a very good chairman, and so they're just really gearing up to try to. The problem is our arts are kind of here and there. We're redoing the building there, you know, for Saratoga Arts.
Right.
People get confused between the two. But the Arts Commission is going to be really, really working to help promote the whole arts, scene.
Right.
In Saratoga.
Right. Well, you know, I always said that, I was coming up to SPAC pretty much when it first opened up. Maybe not quite when it opened up, but, you know, 4 or 5 years after. And I think that was one of the things that started getting Saratoga moving.
Yeah, I mean, our arts venue was just fantastic.
Yeah. So what do you want to finish up with? We've got about a minute and a half. So.
Well,
I know you're so.
I mean, there's two or three topics we could go on to, but it would take longer than
that.
Well,
we can. Yeah, do some
maybe
things
do
again. You know,
maybe
we'll
Tim Cole will come with me too.
I would like that.
We're going to have to see if we could.
I would like that if you can coordinate both the economies.
But I can give a little pit. I mean, I love this city, and I've come to understand its incredible dynamic networking and this thing just vibrates,
yeah,
right?
It does.
And I and the city hall can, you know, not control it, but work so well to keep that going. Sure. That's something I want another opportunity to do.
To be part of. Yeah, definitely. I always said, you know, you walk down Broadway in a snowstorm and the streets are still busy. People walking around with coffee cups and looking in the stores, and it's just amazing, you know, how
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, our Christmas season.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here. I know you got to be, like, super busy, but and if you could just hang on for a minute after. Right now...